Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today.
Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.
Welcome back to another episode of the Mac Rumors Show. Hartley, good afternoon. How's life in the UK?
It's too warm.
Yeah, tell me about it. It's been here we go again. It's been 90 degrees here Fahrenheit. What is that in Celsius?
I think this is just a new tradition for how we have to start every episode with temperature conversions.
And, you know, it's a common thing for people to chat about the weather. So it's 32 degrees here for you.
That's hot. That's warm. But you have to remember that UK heat always feels warmer because our houses are built to retain heat.
Okay.
So it's always just a hellscape and no one has AC.
So just go outside and it's better because your houses are the ones making
pretty
you
much
hotter?
Yeah.
So, like, what is it right now for you?
Right now, it's not too bad. It's like 23.
23? What are you, like, in the 70s? It's 73 degrees. That's cold.
That's not bad right now, but that's the coolest it's been for, like, 2 weeks.
Okay. I was going to say, it has been 92 pretty much every day the last few days. I have kids baseball games that I'm coaching. I had kids like passing out on me. It's crazy.
Oh no.
Everybody's fine.
That's not good.
Yeah, no, I was getting hot. But speaking of getting hot, this is a good transition because the iOS 26 beta was on fire. And I'm happy to report that beta 2 has since come out. And one of the changes in beta 2 is that my phone gets significantly less warm, which is fantastic.
For the first week I was running beta 1, I was storing and charging my phone in my refrigerator. So I would get my Anker battery pack, plug it into my iPhone, and then put it in the refrigerator.
It was outrageous. Now listen, we have to do our usual disclaimer. It is a beta. This happens. It happens quite a bit with any beta, especially the first one. Now, the reason why we're bringing this up is because what Hartley just said, beta 2's come out. He no longer needs to store, hopefully, he no longer needs to store his iPhone in the fridge because it is so much more improved already to the point where it's also unfortunate timing. I couldn't take it anymore because I don't use a case, so it's significantly hotter on my hand. I was getting really annoyed by how hot this device was getting, how poor the performance is because the internals are getting hot. So like, it just kind of goes hand in hand. And then so that Monday, it came out on Monday, and on Monday morning I downgraded back to 18.5. Didn't think about, oh wait, beta 2 is probably coming today or tomorrow, so I should like wait and see. But it's fine. You all should wait for the public beta. That's when I'm going to go back to it. And so of course I probably could have stuck with the beta 2 now that it's a lot cooler and it's performing a lot better. But there are other changes, Hartley, to some of the things that people kind of didn't enjoy. And this is why it's always a good idea to just pump the brakes when you see the first beta and just hold off, because things could significantly change or things could just not show up at all, like we've seen with some other features. But we got some control center changes, which was that the biggest thing probably from the transparency perspective that it was hard to read?
I think it's one of the most noticeable things because in beta 1, there is a small amount of blur that appears behind control center to differentiate from the background, but a lot of the complaints centered on the fact that with liquid glass, you had transparent glass icons floating on top of, say, your home screen, which is also icons. And this meant you could really struggle to actually see what you were trying to access. Now, Apple has significantly increased the amount of background blur. So there's less transparency there. So that's a little bit of a move away from liquid glass, I suppose, in some senses. But it is definitely way more functional. And there are some other usability improvements. I think that that's the biggest takeaway from beta 2 here. The other one that stands out to me are the changes to the UI in Safari, which in beta 1 I was a little bit surprised by, because they were really not very intuitive. But now things seem to be moving back in the direction of actually just being a lot more like iOS 18.
I wonder if there was like a, you know, two people who have kind of final say, but like couldn't agree on how they wanted it to go. And one person wanted the buttons at the top and had it look the way it was on the initial beta. And the other person was like, fine, you know what? Let's just see what the public thinks. And if there's a lot of backlash, which there were some vocal crowds about it, then we'll switch to mine. And that person won. And it's rightfully so. There shouldn't be the things that you need to access frequently should never be at the top. Just from a usability standpoint, when these phones are so big, like if I want to reach up to the top to get a new tab going, I think this is the right call. Bring all of those options down to the bottom. I also like the way it looks now, where you kind of have like beta, it's like, or not beta, it's tab and then privates to the left and the whatever like groups you might have to the right. And it's kind of like all one bar. It like makes plenty of sense to swipe through as opposed to having them so separated. It looked really weird. By the way, you can go to macrumors.com and look up the article, or you can watch my video, shameless plug, where I go through all of the changes if you need a visual perspective to go with this. But I want to go back to the transparency thing real quick. Yeah, you're right that it just didn't look clean for Control Center. It was tough to make things out, but I also think that the icons themselves have gotten a little more frostier in order to help combat. It's not just a little bit of blur behind the icons, but I feel like, unless it's just the blur adding that effect to it, I guess, maybe it just kind of goes hand in hand, but doesn't the icons look more frosted glass as opposed to transparent?
I think there's just been some refinement there. And I imagine we will see that continue. It's inevitable that in a first beta, things are going to be rough around the edges because it is not a complete piece of software. We have got months of iteration left here. And realistically, Apple will continue iterating through 26.1 and 26.2 onwards. This is a developing situation, especially with a design language that is so radically different, and Apple really needs to have the time and the space to learn what is working and what isn't.
Hey guys, just want to let you know this episode of the Mac Rumors Show is sponsored by Cash App. What's the least amount of money that someone's requested from you? Seriously, someone sent me a request for $1. I thought they were joking, and they might have been, but you know what? I paid it, because you can pay $1, you can pay $10, you can pay $100, you can pay $1,000, and it's so easy via Cash App. And what sets Cash App apart from the other apps out there is just how smooth everything feels. There's no weird menus, there's no confusing steps. You just open up the app and you send cash and you get it done. It's more intuitive, it's more customizable, and just way less annoying than some of the other ones that I've tried. One thing I really appreciate is just how safe it feels. If a transaction appears sketchy, Cash App gives you a heads up before you hit the send button. It's like having a personal security guard, but for your money. Plus, you can customize your payments with notes, emojis, little animations. I don't know why, but it just makes things more fun. I've been Cash Apping money to my kid's swim instructor, and honestly, I put the little swim animations, little gifts. It just makes it more fun to kind of spicing up each transaction or money that you might send to somebody. So for a limited time only, new Cash App users can use our exclusive code to earn some additional cash. For real, there's absolutely no catch. You just download Cash App and you sign up. And then just use our exclusive referral code, MacRumors, in your profile. Send $5 to a friend within 2 weeks, 14 days, and you'll get $10 dropped right into your account. Terms do apply. That's money. That's Cash App. Thanks, Cash App, for sponsoring this episode. There's also a reduced transparency option. Now, I believe this was actually in beta 1.
Yes, it was. It's available in iOS 18.
Okay, so
it's just an accessibility feature.
Yeah, I've never looked into it, but now people are looking into it because there's so much transparency that if you do reduce it, I actually think it looks pretty good. You can reduce it quite a bit and make things even more legible if you're having a problem still with some of that. But so we got that change. There's a new ringtone. How do you feel about the new default ringtone getting like an alternative version, which they announced as Alt 1 or whatever? They didn't even give it a proper name.
Well, this ringtone that it's an alternative version of, this sort of glossy ringtone, was introduced with the iPhone 10 in 2017, and it was exclusive to the iPhone 10. It was one of those features that was meant to make you feel like you had the latest iPhone. Yeah. So why exactly iOS 26 is the one to introduce an alternative version of that ringtone?
It's more glassy. I don't know. We're going with a glassy approach, glassy song.
And truthfully, like, I don't think I've customized a ringtone since I was like 12 years old.
I don't think I've heard my ringtone since I was 12 years old. Actually, I'm a lot older than you, so I did not have a phone at 12, but yeah, I mean, who keeps their phone on all the time with Ringer? It's just.
But I mean, I actually like, I will hear my phone's ringtone if I've removed my Apple Watch, but I just don't care enough to change it.
Sure.
I don't know. I think the whole system of alerts and sounds across the platforms really needs to be consolidated. Because it bothers me that the text notification on the Mac and the iPhone and the iPad is different to that of the Apple Watch. And so you associate these things differently. And I would really like to see a far more consistency with what these sounds mean. And I know that Apple tried to, with the Apple Watch, establish a unique sort of set of sounds. So even the calendar notification on the Apple Watch is unique to the Apple Watch. But then when I don't have my Apple Watch on and I hear this noise on my phone that is the noise for reminders, I almost never hear that. So I'm thinking, what is that noise?
Yeah.
And I think we're getting beyond that a little bit. It's a bit like how Big Sur introduced those unique Mac icons, and now Apple has said, okay, enough of that now, just the same icons across every device. Maybe it's time for the same sounds across every device, and I would also say probably ringtones. I would like to be able to understand whether I'm getting a FaceTime video call, a FaceTime audio call, an actual telephone call, or a call through a third-party app based on that ringtone. I think that sound is so important in the system, and I know that a lot of us do just leave these things on silent now, but if you don't, then that experience really should be consistent to me.
I'm convinced that every time we say a lot of us do X, Y, and Z, that it actually is just us. There's a lot of other people who are vocally telling us, like, we don't do that. So I will be willing to bet that a lot of people will say that they keep their phone on Ringer so that you can hear what it is. I just never
I go through, so. Truthfully, I go through phases with it. So I will have a few months on silence across everything, and then I will actually sort of miss getting a little text ping. So I'll turn it all back on, and then eventually it will drive me so crazy that I turn everything back on silent again. And it's just the cycle of life.
I think that's what it is for me. If I turn it on, it's going to drive me insane. So I just almost don't. I sometimes do like it on the watch, though. I will say the little ding that comes through is really quite nice. I don't know why. You know, like, and it's different. Like you said, it is a little bit different enough to be like, oh, no, that was my watch. I know what this is. There are some other changes, but they're all kind of minor. I mean, there's a new radio widget. You use Apple Music. Do you listen to live radio? Because now you got a live radio widget.
Occasionally I do. I haven't actually investigated this widget yet. It will be most interesting to me if I can customize the stations that are shown there. If yeah, right I can't, now, Apple Music One, then how useful is that to me?
I actually do use Apple Music for radio stations. Like the local like sports radio station that's around here, I can play it through Apple Music, so I don't have to download another app, which is nice. But when I added the widget, it did not change the ones that are pre-populated. So I don't know if that's something that you just need to use the app more, or my guess is it would have done
it
that.
It probably is those six default.
Yeah, which is a shame most popular because Apple Music it's stations. Quite literally Apple Music One, Hits, Country, Musico Uno, Club, and Chill. Not the most eclectic of things, but I guess it's maybe got something for everyone.
It's better than nothing. And
yeah,
I like to see Apple adding new widgets. They've added some really good new Apple Music widgets over the last few years. Same goes for Apple Podcasts as well, actually. So
yeah,
I'm always happy to see more widgets, even if this one is not gonna, you know, change my life.
Here's the one thing that kind of made me laugh a little. Low power mode. The description got changed. The low power mode changed. Low power mode hasn't changed, but the description's changed. And in my mind, low power mode has now changed because what it used to say before was that just background activity would be reduced, like downloads and mail fetch. Now, technically, it's a very vague statement. They said like these two things, not just these two things. But in my brain, I read, yeah, it's mostly just these two things. If you look at the new description, background activities, processing speed, display refresh rate and brightness, and limit certain features such as 5G, iCloud syncing, mail fetch, and more. That's a lot more of a reduction than I thought it would be. I know that the frame rate does go down. If you have a phone with ProMotion, it does get cut down quite a bit, back down to the normal standard, what, 60?
Yeah.
I did know that was a thing, but like I just seeing all those other things, I'm like, whoa, I don't know if I want to turn on low power mode all the time now.
I can never sort of make up my mind about low power mode. So I actually use it a lot, but I have no idea how much difference it's making to anything.
Yeah.
I'm always terrified of running out of battery. So when I go out for like a day and I know I'm going to be away from home all day, I will turn it on immediately. But I honestly don't know. I think it makes more of a difference on the pro iPhones because then you've got features like always on, you've got ProMotion as well. And both of those things use a lot of power. So I can understand why that would make a difference. But ultimately, like the phone is still performing the same functions. So yeah. I imagine, I know some people have done some tests on this, but I think as far as I recall, it actually works out to a real world difference of like 5%, if that. It's not a major difference. It's better than nothing and probably is better when you get to 20% and then it turns on automatically to just squeeze out an extra little bit of battery life at the end. But it's the difference between getting an extra 20 or 30 minutes out of your device rather than hours. Yeah. But I suppose that's understandable. What I'd like to see is a super low power mode that actually makes some really quite dramatic differences that I could turn on when I drop below, say, 10%. And that does things like really reduces the screen brightness and disables even more of the cores in the chip. And
it'd
I know
be
that
cool
would
if you
deliver
could just like do like call, text, and GPS would be like the only three things if you need, you know, super, super low power mode. Like that, where it's just restrictive to those three things.
I agree. And it will be interesting to see because one of the rumors we had going into WWDC this year was about an Apple Intelligence-driven power-saving mode. And then these rumors got muddled up with the iPhone 17 Air. And because this did not appear at WWDC, presumably now, this is going to be something that is unveiled later in the year and probably will also come to the Pro iPhones. So I wonder if that adaptive power feature will actually have that capability where it can work like a conventional low power mode and actually disable very little. But as your battery reduces more, it can take more and more extreme measures as required.
Yeah, I haven't tried it yet. The option is there, but...
Well, that's the adaptive mode. I'm talking about the rumored like Apple Intelligence battery mode.
Oh, okay. Well, you said adaptive before. You got me confused for a second.
Those are different, right? The rumor model might have...
In my mind...
Confused here.
In my mind, these features are not different to me. I just think that someone saw this like setting in iOS 26 and thought that it was going to be more than what it was. And they like leaked it as like an Apple Intelligence thing. I don't know why. In my mind, they're the same thing because honestly, what you just described and you said adaptive in your description. So that's why my brain immediately went to that. Like it's already out. So I don't know. Maybe there's something more. That would be cool if there was, but I feel like this is the feature.
You may well be right.
I haven't tried it on the beta yet either. So maybe when I jump back into iOS 26 with the public beta, I will turn it on and see if I notice any improvements. But it's also just like so hard to tell. You have to like really, really pay attention to how you use your phone and where battery levels are, unless it's like a drastically noticeable difference. Like I've been using my phone all day and I'm at 80%. Like that just never happens. Like how else are you going to, you have to really pinpoint and write things down. But yeah. And then I think the last thing that I wanted to bring up was the wallpaper got that parallax effect, the kind of 3D looking movements.
Oh, yeah.
For the main one. For some reason, that wasn't live. I don't know. On the first one, but they showed it off. Yeah, so there's just some nice little updates in beta 2. It'll be interesting to see what we get throughout the course. I'm guessing what beta 3 will be like right with the public beta, right?
I assume so. It might be beta 4.
Okay. Well, we're close. I mean, public beta is in July. That starts in a couple, next week. So, yeah, iOS 26. Okay. So a couple other things that we wanted to discuss, some stories this week, non-beta related, non-WWDC related, because that's kind of the only other thing that we've got. Apple is internally discussing whether to bid and acquire Perplexity AI. And I can immediately tell you that I don't understand what there is to talk about. Just go ahead and do it. what are we doing? Just do it. I'm surprised you haven't done it already. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong, but.
I would love to see Apple make some more acquisitions in general. I think that they should be braver in acquiring companies. And I think that sometimes opportunities in the past have been missed by not doing that. I think the biggest example is I think it was a big mistake to not acquire Tesla when it could have done that in around 2015. And I think that the whole conversation around what Apple's $1 billion car project was and is now no more would have been totally different. And I think that if there ever was going to be an Apple car, it would have made far more sense for it to be under another brand, just like Beats, and Tesla would have been the perfect brand to do that with. And in the same way, I would like to see Apple be more ambitious now with AI. And there was a time for it to invest more heavily in OpenAI. That boat has now sailed. So Perplexity is probably the next best one. And the reason why Perplexity in particular is interesting, as far as Apple is concerned, is because Perplexity is search related. Apple's search is generally pretty weak. So on the App Store, it's never been that fantastic. Certainly, I know Apple's just revamped it in the latest version of macOS, but Spotlight has had some really quite major issues with really basic search. And of course, we know that it uses Google in Safari because of this $20 billion deal that Apple has with Google. Now, the Department of Justice may well just shoot that deal down in the next year. So Google may not be the default search engine on an iPhone, on any iPhone. You may be able to select that yourself, but it won't be the default. If that's the case, then what a perfect time to actually move to an alternative, like making Perplexity the default, owned by Apple, and integrate it into Spotlight across all devices, and also have it underlying search everywhere else across the system, whether that's in the App Store or even in things like Apple Notes. I think it has a huge amount of potential. And Perplexity is such a... It's not really a chatbot. It's more of a sort of research tool, and the way that it compiles search results to provide a much richer, much more sort of modern feeling search experience, I actually feel is quite compatible with Apple's vision and the sort of where Apple could go with AI, where I can imagine them going.
Yeah. The
only thing to mention about this is that if Apple was to do this, this would be the biggest acquisition they have ever made by a long shot. So when they acquired Beats, they acquired that company for $3 billion. Perplexity is now worth at least $14 billion.
I mean, Apple's got the money,
though. I mean, Apple has the money to do it, but
yeah,
this would be a huge acquisition.
I would do it in a heartbeat. I don't think there's anything to think about. You just listed all of the reasons perfectly. It is more of a search engine based thing, but it can still be used in a Siri style chatbot. It could still have tons of value for the engineers who could incorporate it in some way, shape, or form into Siri, into the general search engine for Safari, all of that stuff. I just think it makes loads of sense. Give us a key for it too. Replace camera control or something and make it the Perplexity key or whatever Apple's gonna, you know, they'll rebrand the thing. But like, I think they're so far behind at this point that we need to do something. And this is the fastest way. I give them credit for trying to do it in-house, but I think at some point you'll still be doing it in-house, but just with a lot more help.
I will be surprised if they actually go ahead with this because the reports are that Apple is quite close to developing its own AI tools that are comparable to that of GPT-4. It's just not ready for public release yet. So in all likelihood, next year's WWDC will focus on Apple Intelligence and probably will see the unveiling of a chatbot. That chatbot probably won't be released right away. It probably will be something that is staggered to late 26, early 27. But it is not that far away comparatively. And I think that by then, all of this catch-up will start to be coming through.
Yeah, but like, didn't we talk about this before? That by the time this happens...
That's true.
The competitors are going to be so much further ahead. Gemini is going to be, it's already light years better in OpenAI. We already know that. Think about where they're going to be by the end of 26. So if you can acquire something to help speed up the process, give you more assets, give you more valuable engineers and IP and all the stuff that you need, I don't know. I mean, I get it. $14 billion. We say they have the money, but that is a lot of money still. So like, you can't just do it as nonchalantly as I'd like them to, but I just think they need to look into this a little bit more if they're not already. I'm sure they are. But if they are that close, I don't know. Gotta step it up somehow.
I agree. I think this would be a good step. I'll just be very surprised if they do it.
Okay. The last thing I wanted to talk about, it's going to be a little bit of a shorter episode today, but the last thing I wanted to talk about, although who knows, we could probably talk about this for 2 hours. Colors, new iPhones, rumored to be colored. And this is the standard iPhone. So do your takes not really, are you not as, do you not have as strong as takes because it's not a pro phone? So likely one that you wouldn't use on a daily basis.
I have equally passionate feelings about.
Well, how do you feel? Color options. How do you feel about the 17 coming this year in a green and purple? Does this interest you at all?
It interests me because I am not a fan of the iPhone 16's color options. I know a lot of people like the ultramarine. I personally don't. I think the best iPhone colors ever released were the standard iPhone 15s with those very pale, muted, frosted colors, but with a load of options.
Let's see.
And in particular, I think the idea of this sort of pale purple. There's no purple iPhone 16 right now. A sort of pale purple iPhone 17, I think, actually could be incredibly popular.
I'm looking at the green from the 15 and the green rumored for 17. Granted, it's just mock-ups, but they look kind of similar. So you liked it, so I guess that's what you're going to get. And a purple one is fine. I don't know. These do nothing for me. I'm not going to be using these colors, these phones per se. But I do think it's time to bring it back again. The conversation of the pro colors. We need to do something. I cannot take another variant of gray or blue.
Why?
Because it's so boring. I'm just going to get black this year.
I'm going to get white.
Why?
Because I've had natural for 2 years, so it's time for a change.
Dude, I'm doing black, I think. I don't know. This one's fine. This is the goldish one. Sometimes it's pink. Sometimes it's gold. I don't know. I'm so underwhelmed by the colors that, and I get it. Who cares?
Most people put a case on it.
It doesn't matter. I also ask why. I feel like in 2025, you shouldn't be putting a case on your phone anymore unless you work in like construction or somebody who's like a place where.
Consider stuff like cars.
Yeah.
There are the most popular car colors are like white, black, gray.
Yeah, it's real simple.
Yeah.
I know. My take is incorrect. I am well aware. It's just, I'm just so bored. And listen, even if they made like, okay, yeah, we always joke like I'd want an orange iPhone. Even if they made an orange iPhone, I would get it. But I don't know that I'd love it after a couple of months of like being the loudest person in the room. I'm already vocally one of the loudest people in a room. Could you imagine just that guy walking in with an orange phone? People are going to be like, come on, this is ridiculous.
That's why I think that Apple's strategy with the Pro iPhones is not too far off base, because they provide white, black, gray, and then something else. Mm. And that something else changes, but those other ones stay the same. And I think when they started doing this with the Pro phones, when was this in? Must have been with the iPhone 11 Pro coming in green, midnight green. And then the iPhone 12 Pro came in Pacific blue. 1 year the option was green. 1 year the option was blue. The iPhone 14 Pro available in purple. The iPhone 15 blue again, but now it's blue titanium. I'm okay with that, because then you've got that one color that exists for that 1 year for people that want something that feels particularly unique to that generation and possibly a little bit more fresh. I mean, my natural titanium iPhone 16 Pro looks exactly the same as my natural titanium iPhone 15 Pro. So it's completely familiar to me, but I'm not trying to have something that feels different. I just want something that's like looks reliably good, because it's like it's a tool, it's an appliance. I don't want it to be some crazy looking thing on my desk or in my pocket. Like, I kind of just want it to blend in. And that's good for me. That works for me. But I think that providing that one option or a color for people who don't want that is good. Where Apple's maybe got a little bit misguided with this in recent years is it worked great with the iPhone 11, 12, 13, 14. But the iPhone 15 Pro's blue was really very, very dark. It was almost black. And then the iPhone 16 Pro has lost the blue and added gold. But the gold is barely gold. It's like champagne white.
It's gold with a hint of, just a hint of gold. I saw something yesterday about LaCroix flavors where it was like, a watermelon Skittle dissolved in club soda, which is basically how you get the flavor for those. Do you know what LaCroix is? It's you have that out there, right? No? Okay. It's like a carbonated water with like a hint of flavor, you know? So yeah, it's just like they put the smallest amount of what like a strawberry flavor in this water. So that's kind of how I feel like the pro colors are. It's just like they did one little drop of a color of blue and it's like, here you go. But it's mostly gray. It's mostly gray.
And that's how it's been the past couple of years.
So I know. I'm just bored.
I hope that with the 17 Pro going forward, because actually we don't really know what the 17 Pro color will be. I hope that they do white, black. I think it's supposed to be sky blue instead of natural. And then offer something like, I don't know, like a hot pink or red or orange for the people that want that. And then next year, do purple or yellow or something. Yeah. But just, you don't need to offer like a whole rainbow of colors here.
No, just
but
one. I think that's not.
Just one that is an option for those people. And I'm sure that they will be popular. Because even outside the tech community, people who do buy a new iPhone every year, there's plenty of them. They like to have the color that is marketed for the phone that year, because it adds to this sense of freshness and it's a way of signaling that you have the latest iPhone. Personally, I don't care about that, but some people do.
I think, honestly, colors aside, I would get a black or a white if it came in a frosted glass. The frosted glass on the back of like the six to the regular models is so much nicer to me than what you like. I know that this is still kind of frost, but it's not quite the same.
It is. It's just the colors are different. It's exactly the same.
I feel like it's not. Maybe it's because of the sides, the side rails.
Probably, but the actual glass itself is the same.
It does not feel the same. It does not feel the same kind of level of frostedness that you do with like the 16 standard.
That's interesting. I'll have to go try that out in an Apple store because I'm convinced that they're the same.
I mean, you're probably right, and they probably are the same. But in my brain, I have the other ones on the other desk. I mean, when I pick that up, it feels drastically different to me in terms of the back glass. And the color, I know the colors pop more because they're more vibrant, but it just feels better. And I want a black, like matte black frosted. Give me something that looks like the 16E. I really like that. Just how flat and mint. Like if we're going to do these boring colors, then make them like clean and flat. That's what I want. But that's our 4 minutes on colors. It's June, getting into July. This is what we got. this is what we have to offer. Hopefully, we will get some bigger news coming in the next couple of weeks here. We have some products rumored. You know, September's right around the corner. iPhones, new iPads potentially in October we can talk about. But yeah, let us know in the comments down below. Also, let us know if you have any episodes, you know, ideas that you guys want us to like kind of deep dive into. We can always tailor around that. But in the meantime, let us know your thoughts and we'll catch everybody in the next episode.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system, so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
Step Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
You're doing all the right things, like eating clean and staying active, but nearly all of us are still missing a key piece, minerals. Concentrace Daily Mineral Powder helps restore what your body's not getting, supporting mood, energy, immunity, and nervous system balance. It's made from ionic trace minerals your body actually absorbs and comes in three delicious flavors, blue raspberry, blue Hawaiian, and blue acai. Because your body can't make minerals and modern food and water don't supply enough, start with minerals. Start with Concentrace. Find it now at TraceMinerals.com.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system, so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to Ramp.com and love finance again.